And next week, I'll have questions on tonight's story. And I trust that by then, everyone here will be able to know the portion of Scripture. Tonight and next week, my lessons are going to be from the book of Ruth. And as you all know, the book of Ruth follows the book of Judges. However, the story that's contained within the book of Ruth would have taken place much earlier in the history of Israel. But because of the fact that it speaks of the last days or the last times, it comes at the end of the series on Judges. It tells us what's going to happen in regards to Israel. For one of the main characters, if not the main character, who is Naomi, and many people think the book should have been named after her, is a picture or a type of Israel. The story takes place during the time that there was a famine in the land of Israel. We know in the book of Judges, during the time when Gideon was the judge, there was a famine. Whether this story took place during that time or not, I cannot say for sure. However, we also know that this story took place in Bethlehem, Judea. Now, Bethlehem means house of bread, and Judah means praise. You'll remember that it was in Bethlehem that the Lord Jesus was born. And Jesus, when he was here on the first face of this earth, he said these words, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Almost seems like a contradiction that we should be at the house of bread and there's a famine in the land. Well, the reason there's a famine in the land is because of the departure of the children of Israel. I think of that verse that we find in the book of Isaiah where it says, "For as much as my people refuseth the waters of Shiloh, which run smoothly, therefore will I send upon them the waters of a river strong and many." Now I suppose that the famine was caused by the heavens coming down and destroying the crops. You'll remember also that the children of Israel, they had to depend upon the heavens for their rain supply. There was no river Nile like in the land of Egypt. And so we find that the crops were destroyed, and it caused a famine in the land. It's most interesting to read the words in Psalms 105 where it says, "Moreover, he called for a famine in the land." Yes, it was the Lord that called for a famine in the land, and he broke the whole staff of bread. There was a famine in the land, and it was speaking to the people who had sinned against God. But there were many people, of course, in the land of Israel that were following the Lord. And so you see, oftentimes they too have to suffer. And I think of those verses in the New Testament where it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, wanting nothing." Yes, the trials of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So when the trials and the troubles come, we need to be like the psalmist prayed in Psalms 139. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Oh, how precious are His thoughts unto usward. And they're without number. We couldn't even begin to number them. But God caused a famine to come into the land of Israel. Now, a famine, as we find from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, was one of the four sore judgments that God would have sent upon the land
disciplined his people. There was the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence. And those four things were the major things that God used to test them or to try them. The main character in the beginning of the story is a man by the name of Elimelech. Had a very interesting name. His name means, "My God is King." A very good representative name. But Elimelech, who was married to Naomi, whose name means pleasant, was not in a very good spiritual condition. No. When the famine came, they weren't trusting in God and what God promised he would do. I like those words too, where it says in the Word of God, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Yes, the Lord knows our days. And he says, "I will satisfy her poor with bread." I like the words that we read tonight in the sword drill, where it says, "I will abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor with bread. I also will clothe her priest with salvation. They shall shout and they shall also sing." But here was Elimelech, that when the famine came, he wasn't like Gideon, who was an overcomer. No, Elimelech, he decided that what he needed to do was to go down into Moab, because there they had heard there was food supply, and so he decided to take his family. Now, as I said, he was not in a very good spiritual condition, for he named his children. The oldest one was named Malon, which means sickness. The other one that he named was Chilion, which means pining or weakness. Yes, spiritually, he was not very strong in the Lord. And so we find that he was making his way down to Moab. I suppose that before he went, there were those who would have spoken to him and said, "But Elimelech, you know very well that the Moabites have been against us. You even know how that they started as a nation. They started through incest, and they have caused us nothing but troubles. And besides that, Elimelech, what are you going to do when the special feast days come? You know what God's word says. It says that every male should appear before the Lord three times a year, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles." And I suppose the response from Elimelech would be, "Well, just because I'm going down doesn't mean that I'm going to be a heathen. Of course I'm going to come back." You see, Elimelech went on to tell them that all I'm going to do is sojourn in the land. In other words, what he was saying, this is, we're not going to dwell there forever. That's not going to be our permanent residence. We're just going to be strangers and pass through. And so, instead of trusting in the Lord, who had promised that he would provide their provision abundantly, who also said that he would satisfy the poor with bread, we find that Elimelech took his wife and Naomi and the two sons, and they went down to Moab. Never intended to stay for so long, but it wasn't long, and we find that Elimelech, he didn't make it. No, he didn't make it back to the feast days that they were to celebrate as unto the Lord. Oh, there were the excuses that people know all about. You know, like the fact that, well, the children were sick, or the work, or you know, the weather conditions. Those excuses that people make today, why they don't make it out to the Lord's Supper, you know, when God has asked us to come there to remember Him. And people have got the excuses why they're not there. Well, whatever it was, Elimelech didn't make it. In fact, it wasn't long, and we read that he died in the land. Now, when he died in the land of Moab, we find now that Naomi is a widow. And as a widow, she does not return back home to Israel. No, she stays in the land. Now, when Elimelech died, what happened is she lost her husband, whose name means, "My God is King." And that's how she reminds us of Israel. For she is a picture of Israel because the fact, just like she was without her head, God being her king, so we find today that Israel is without their king. Yes, they have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ from being their king. Back then, they rejected God as being their king. And so we find that instead of going home, what she does is she stays 10 more years in the land of Moab. It's during that 10-year period that the boys really grow up. And those boys, when they grow up, why, they're normal fellows that begin to take a look at the girls round about. Now, there would have been lots of discussions about it, you know. Oh, I can sure of that. But the boys would have responded by saying, "But Mom, they're nice girls." Yes, they're nice girls, but you boys know very well what God's Word says. God's Word makes it very clear that no Israelite is to marry outside of the nation of Israel. Well, they could have talked all they wanted, but the boys kept looking at the girls. And it wasn't long. And the boys found themselves a partner. The oldest one, he married a girl by the name of Ruth. So Ruth and Malone were joined in marriage, and Chilion, he found a girl by the name of Orpha, and he got married. Now, we know very well what God's Word says to us in the New Testament, "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And these boys joined together in marriage. And it wasn't as if some of the days were not happy. Oh, they had some good times. But oh, listen, the troubles that came. And my friends, I want to tell you, when we disobey God's Word, it will always bring trouble. Oh, Naomi, she had a good relationship with her daughters-in-laws. And it's very true that if the mother-in-law will have a good relationship with the daughter-in-laws, as a general thing, you will find that the daughter-in-laws will also have a good relationship with them. And so we find they did have their good times, but during that 10-year period, the boys died. Well, now it was a very sad day for Naomi. It was a sad day for the girls as well, because there were three deaths now in the family. And it was after that that Naomi, she had heard that the Lord had visited Israel with bread. And so what Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws is this, "I'm going home." Well, when she said that, the girl said to her, "Mother, we'll go with you." "Oh," she said, "girls, I've got nothing to offer you." Think of it. This woman who knew God in a personal way, all she began to think about was, you know, things of this world. She didn't think about God. She was only occupied with material things. And she says, "I've got nothing to offer." She had everything to offer. She had known God in a personal way. And she needed to share the Lord God with them. And the girl said, "But Mom, we're going with you." "No, no, no," she said. "You stay here and you return and you go back to your own families and marry again." Then we read that Orpha, she came and kissed her mother-in-law, and Naomi kissed her. And Orpha started on her way back to the place of Moab. Oh, I don't know about you, my friends, but when I think about a kiss, what it means is that you really love the person. But how can you love a person when you're sending them back to idolatry? Sending them on their way to hell. That's what she was doing. She was sending Orpha right back on her way to hell, as it were. And so we find that the daughter-in-law, Ruth, she clung to her and she said to her, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou diest, there will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And so, from that moment on, we find that Ruth clung, and she went back with her mother-in-law. And as she went back, yes, Naomi began to encourage her. I like those words from Psalms 51 where it says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Then shall I teach transgressors their way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Yes, oh, that the joy of our salvation would return. And so from this time on, we find that Naomi, yes, she encouraged her, and they started off on their way to Israel, to Bethlehem, Judah. Now, when they came into the land, it was the time of harvest time. It was the time where they were reaping the barley. You know, whenever a person returns to the Lord, it's always a harvest time. I like those words where it says in Luke chapter 15, where it says that what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and goeth after that which was lost, until he find it? And when he findeth it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And so it was that we find that the Lord was the one that brought her home. Yes, he's the good shepherd. But you see, what did this do? It brought nothing but death. There in the land of Moab, it was all desolate now. All that she had for reminding here was just the graves of her husband and the two sons. But now she was returning home, and it was harvest time. When she arrived, why, the people in the city of Bethlehem were really moved. And it says that the whole city was stirred. And they said one to another, "Is this Naomi?" And she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Lord God Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord brought me home empty." I think of that portion of Scripture in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, where we read these words. How is the city become desolate that was full of people? How has she become a widow? She weepeth sore into the night. The tears run down her cheeks. From the daughter of Zion, her beauty hath departed. Jerusalem remembereth the days, yes, of her afflictions and of her miseries. She remembered all of those things that were done unto her in the past. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And then in the end of that chapter of Leviticus chapter 1, it says these words. It's a confession of Israel. "We have sinned and rebelled against his commandments. We have sinned grievously. The Lord has been righteous. Oh, the Lord has been righteous in all his ways, but we have rebelled against his commandments. We have rebelled grievously." Yes, and sinned. Our sighs are many, and the heart is faint. But we read tonight in the sword drill those words from Hosea where it says, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, and my anger I will turn away from him. And I will be unto him as the dew of Israel. Oh, you know, it was the Lord who was the good shepherd that brought her home, as I already mentioned. And it was harvest time as they were coming in. And what Naomi had to admit was this, that it was the Lord who brought her home. She had to admit also that when she left the land, she was full. Now she was empty. Oh, she may not have had all of her wants when they went down to the land of Moab, but God had met their every need. But you see, they left the land. And it's always sad when people leave and they have to admit that God is so good. She had to say, yes, that she was full, but now she was empty. She could only think of God as the Almighty God. She couldn't think of God as a loving God. No, she thought about the Almighty God who had dealt with her very bitterly. But it was she who brought her own troubles upon herself. God was dealing with her in love. Oh, He was disciplining her, just like God is dealing with the children of Israel now. But they don't see it. They don't understand that God is dealing in love. But it was the good shepherd that brought her back. Yes, it was a harvest time. And you know, I like to think too of the fact that the Lord is the one who will supply our every need. And it's the Lord God, as we find too, that said that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one that repenteth. And so, you know, God was glad to see her come back. The day is going to come, and again, Israel will return. Well, we find that when they returned into the land, that we have Ruth, who is a type of the faithful remnant of Israel. And here we find that when they came into the land, Naomi wasn't expecting her relatives to support her. No, Naomi knew the conditions of the land, and she said to Ruth, we have a system in our country, and it's a lot better system than what we have in our welfare system. What they had was a system where those who were the strangers, the poor, and the widows, they could go into the fields and they could glean. They could gather food for themselves and for their family. You see, it wasn't that God doesn't want the poor to be taken care of, but they needed to work. If they could work, they should work. And Naomi made that clear to Ruth that that's the system they had at that time in the land. Well, you see, those that were poor, the strangers and the widows, would go in and glean from the corners of the field or from that which the reapers would have missed. The Israelites were told that they were not allowed to cut down all of the field. They had to leave the corners of the fields for the poor, the strangers, and the widows. Not only that, if they missed something, they were not to go back and cut it down. And so they would come in and they would gather. And as I said, it was the barley time. Well, Ruth, when she heard of the system, she said she would be willing to go to glean. And so she went out into the fields. And it so happened that she came to the fields of Boaz to glean. She asked the chief steward if she could glean that day in his fields, and he said, you're more than welcome. You just go right ahead. Now I like the verse where it says in Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. We read those words in Job where it says, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with me. Yes, the Lord was directing her steps. She had asked the chief steward, who was over all of the gleaners, and he said, you are welcome in the fields. Well, it was later on in that day that Boaz, the one who was the owner of the fields, that he came by. And when he came into the fields, he said to the people that were there gleaning and reaping, the Lord be with thee. And they all responded together and said, the Lord bless you. What a great relationship there was between Boaz, the owner, and the people that worked in his fields. And as he came, he spoke to the chief steward. And when he spoke to the chief steward, he said to him, who's the young woman over there? Oh, said the chief steward, that's the Moabitess girl that came back with Naomi. She came early this morning and asked if she could glean in the fields, and she's been working hard at it ever since. In fact, she has hardly even taken a break. She has been so busy gleaning in the fields. So, after that, we find that Boaz, he went over to where Ruth was. And he said to her, welcome to my fields. Don't go any other place to glean during the harvest time, because you're welcome here. And if you're thirsty, you go and get some of the water that my servants have drawn. Well, Ruth was so surprised as she realized that the owner of the fields had spoken to her. And she said to him, how is it that I, being a stranger, you are taking notice of me? And he said, oh, I know all about you. I know that you are the daughter-in-law of Naomi. And I know that you have showed kindness to her. And I also know that you have come to put your trust in the Almighty and to be under His wings. Oh, you see, on that road, she made a tremendous decision. She didn't know a lot about God. She didn't have what we would call great faith. No. But she had faith in God. She came to know Him in a personal way. She made a choice that separated her from her sister-in-law, but united her with her mother-in-law. Yes, she came to put her trust under the wings of the Almighty God. She came to trust Him for protection. Psalms 57 and verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in Thee, yea, in the shadow of Thy wings will I find refuge. Yes, she came to Him for protection. I like Psalms 17, 2 and verse 8, where it says, keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. And then we have Psalms 36 and verse 7, where it says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Yes, and then also we find that not only is there protection under His wings, but there's help under His wings. And we read those words in Psalm 63 and verse 7. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore under Thy wings will I rejoice. And not only is there protection under the wings, Not only is there help under His wings, but there's safety under His wings as well. I like those words from Psalms 91 where it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust." That's why we sang that song tonight, "Under His Wings." And I wonder tonight, my friends, if you know what it is to be under His wings. He's there for our protection. He's there for our help. And He's there for our safety. And Ruth, yes, she had put her trust under His wings. She didn't know a lot about God. No, Naomi, it's true, did testify, but it wasn't a priority in her life. And so we find that Boaz knew all about it, just like God knows all about you. And so Boaz said to her, "I want you to come and eat with me at noontime and with my gleaners and with those who are reaping in my field." Well, when Ruth realized what he was saying and invited, she just bowed down before him. But you know, she took him up on the invitation and she was there. And you know, she came along with the others to eat with him. Remember what it says in John, I quoted that verse, "He that believeth on Him shall never hunger, and he that cometh to Him shall never thirst." And you know what he was saying to her, "When you're thirsty, you come to me." I like the words that we read this morning at the Lord's Supper. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, yea, come, buy and eat." Yes? We find also that the very last invitation in the Word of God is this, "And the Spirit and the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." And so we find that, yes, that Ruth was invited to come. And Jesus said these words in John chapter 7. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Come if you thirst. And the Lord's asking us to do, to drink of him. But then also, he's asked for us to come and to rest. And that's why we read that verse where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Well, Ruth believed him, and she came, and she ate with them. And it was during that time, as she ate with him, that lo and behold, he gave her something right from his hand. You know, it's always exciting when you feed animals or birds, and sometimes they come and they take it right out of your hand. And you know, that's how the Lord feels about us too. Is he wants to feed us, and he wants to supply our needs, and he wants us to take it right from his hand. You know, it's good to get something from somebody else as they give it to you, the food from God's Word. But when you get it from Him, it comes directly from Him. Oh, listen, how good it is and what a thrill it is to the Lord Himself. And so, yes, Ruth found that she was eating, as it were, right out of His hand. You know, the Lord, the moment we get saved, He has invited us to His table. And I'm so glad that the table of the Lord is forever. You see, the Lord has invited us to His table. And He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that you are either at the Lord's table or you are at the devil's table. The moment you get saved, you are at the table of the Lord. And that table all is for your provision. But it's a matter of your appetite of what you get. You see, some people really don't enjoy their Christian life. And if you're not enjoying your Christian life, it's your own fault. Because you see, God wants to give to you abundantly. I will satisfy them abundantly, it says in the Word of God. Yes, but many people, they don't take what God wants to give to them. And their life is not happy. Well, the other thing that we find out about it is this, that if you're not at the Lord's table, then you're automatically at the devil's table. You need to ask yourself the question, what table are you at? And then you know, if you're at the Lord's table, it's our privilege, it's our responsibility to come to the Lord's Supper. You see, the Lord's table is where we come to get. But at the Lord's Supper is where we come to give. And if you're at the Lord's table, then you should find yourself at the Lord's Supper and want to give unto the Lord. Oh, it's our privilege, but it's also our responsibility. The Lord's Supper is going to come to an end. But the Lord's table is going to go on forever. And even in the glory, He's going to provide for our every need. And as it says in Corinthians, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Oh, it's going to take us all eternity to see the wonders that He has. This morning at the Lord's Suppers, the supper, again, we talked about the wonder of God. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Great God of wonders. And He's got so much in store for us. And so, therefore, we ought to do something also that He's asked us to do. To remember Him at the Lord's Supper, but also that we should live for Him as well. Well, she had more than she could eat. Why? He loaded her up and she couldn't even possibly eat it all. And you're going to find out too, my friends, if you follow the Lord, He'll do for you far more than you can ask or think. And there we find that she was fully satisfied and she went back out into the fields to glean. It was Boaz who turned to his servants and he said, now, I want you that when you go back into the fields, that you just drop some handfuls of the barley on purpose right before her. Oh, think of it. What? She had already received abundance at his table. But now as she goes out into the fields, why, the reapers are told that they should just drop some handfuls on purpose. How that's like our Lord. Day by day, how good He is to us as He supplies our needs. I can testify to that, my friends, that the Lord is so good. We don't deserve all that He gives. And here she gathered much that day. In fact, when we find out what she gathered 10 times the amount that they would have gathered when they were in the wilderness gathering the manna. In fact, when she was finished that day, she had enough food for herself and for her mother-in-law for 5 days. Yes. And when she went home to her mother-in-law saw all that she was bringing. And the words that came out of her mother-in-law's mouth were, where have you gleaned today? And it's those words that I want to end with. Because you see, that's the great question. Where have you gleaned today from God's Word? Oh, it's so important for each and every one of us to get something from the Word of God that He wants to get to us. And you see, there's something about gleaning. It takes a lot of hard work. You have to bend down and you got to cut it down and pick it up. Oh, you know, my friends, when you bend down and you begin to gather from God's Word, how that speaks to us of humility. Yes, and we need to cut it down and apply it to ourselves. Yes, and beat it out as she did for that grain. Now, of course, you see, we also find that she was invited to get a drink of water. And I like those words that we read from Isaiah chapter 12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you praise the Lord. Oh, tonight, I might say this, that it's so important for each and every one of us to glean daily from the Word of God. Yes, you need to do that. And Naomi asked her where she was gleaning. And I leave you with that question. Where did you glean from God's Word today? If you have a question about tonight's story, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you. And I'll be up front for a few minutes after I close in prayer. Father, again, as we bow in your presence, we just want to thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the fact, too, that you meet our every need. And truly, there's so many of us here today that can say that you've done for us far more than what we deserve. We thank you for your great love, that you love us, that we can have life with you forever, and we want to say that we love you. Help us to be obedient. And again, Lord, we thank you for the decision that Ruth made, and I pray that there might be someone here that might make that decision, yes, and say, I want to put my trust and faith in the Lord. Bless us now throughout this day, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.